Chapter 3, European Quest for New Land. Chapter Preview, Terms, Middleman, Expedition, Cartographer, Northwest Passage, Isthmus, Conquistador, Skirmish, Missionary, Colony, Alliance, Economy, Calumet, Immunity, People, Christopher Columbus, Francisco Vasquez de Coronado, Hernando de Soto, René Robert Cavalier, Sieur de La Salle, Bernard de La Harpe. Places, Quivira. The search for new lands by people and animals has occurred since the earliest of times. Sometimes the search was for food or shelter, or perhaps because an area had become overcrowded. Sometimes it was because people couldn't agree with various other people. Sometimes it was seen as a way of having more power or riches. And sometimes it was to satisfy the adventuresome spirit of humans. Section 1. Early European Explorers. As you read, look for Early European Expeditions to and Explorers of the New World. The First Europeans to Travel Through Present-Day Oklahoma. And Vocabulary Terms. Middleman, Expedition, Cartographer, Northwest Passage, Isthmus, Conquistador, Skirmish, Missionary, Colony, and Alliance. Scandinavian Vikings were possibly the first Europeans to visit the Americas. Archaeological evidence of a Viking village from about AD 1000 has been found in Newfoundland, Canada. This corresponds with the time Viking Leif Erikson attempted to establish Vinland in the same area. Theories have varied on the possibility of Vikings traveling as far inland as what is now Heavener, Oklahoma, in AD 1012. For unknown reasons, the Vikings didn't continue exploring the New World. The search for new trade routes. Somewhat later, in the 1400s, several European countries set their sights on finding new trade routes to the Orient, Eastern Asia. Trade between Europe and Asia had been going on for centuries. The Europeans treasured such goods as Oriental silk, perfumes, drugs, gold, jewels, dyes, teas, and spices such as pepper, cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves. Mediterranean ports such as Venice and Constantinople and a land route known as the Silk Road were important in this exchange of goods. The long journey involved a number of middlemen, or traders who bought goods from producers and then sold them to other traders or consumers. The cost of moving the items from the Far East to Europe were high. A shorter route would lower prices, and it would provide an edge in the constant struggle for world power. Exploration of new seas and lands was about to begin. Marco Polo was a merchant born in Venice, Italy, about 1254. At the age of 17, he traveled with his father to the Far East, an adventure that lasted 24 years. As they traveled throughout China, they encountered civil war, crossed the Gobi Desert, and met the great Kublai Khan, ruler of Beijing. In 1299, Polo dictated the story of his journey to the writer Rustichello of Pisa. The book, Travels of Marco Polo, was widely published and translated into many languages. The book proved to be a major influence on European exploration and on Christopher Columbus. During the early 1400s, Prince Henry the Navigator of Portugal sent ships south along the western coast of Africa in an unsuccessful search for an eastern passage to the Indian Ocean. In 1488, long after Prince Henry's death, another Portuguese explorer, Bartholomew Dias, rounded the southern tip of Africa, called the Cape of Good Hope. Dias was confident India could be reached by this route, but he turned back. Christopher Columbus. Christopher Columbus, an Italian sea captain, believed that the best route to the Far East lay to the west. Like other experienced navigators of his day, Columbus believed that Earth was round. He calculated that the distance from Portugal to Japan was less than 3,000 miles. It is actually 12,000 miles. He also believed the route to the Far East would be free of land obstacles. Columbus tried to get support for his expedition, a journey for a specific purpose such as exploration, from the rulers of France, Portugal, and England. Finally, Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand of Spain agreed to finance his voyage. Columbus gathered crews for the three ships that would make the journey, the Niña, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Food, water, weapons, and live animals were put on board, and on August 3, 1492, they set sail from Palos, Spain. After many days at sea, some of the crew wanted to turn back, but Columbus convinced them to continue. Finally, on October 12, 1492, the ships landed on an island Columbus named San Salvador. Today we call this land east of Florida the Bahama Islands. Because Columbus believed he was just off the coast of India, he called the people living there Indians. He wrote, "They do not kill or capture others and are without weapons." Columbus assured Queen Isabella that the Indians would make good Christians and faithful subjects. Columbus made three more voyages to the Western Hemisphere in 1493, 1498, and 1502. In later voyages, he explored the coast of Central and South America, discovering Puerto Rico, Jamaica, and the Virgin Islands. In his reports, he described the extraordinary beauty of the New World he found. When he died in 1506, Columbus still believed he had found the route to the Far East riches and that gold and spices were very near. Other explorers took up the challenge of finding that shorter trade route. Other early explorers. Italian Giovanni Cabato, better known as John Cabot, also sailed west, but under an English flag. In 1497, he landed at Newfoundland, in present-day Canada. He is credited with being the first European to reach the North American mainland after the early Viking contact. The ocean trade route from Europe to India was finally discovered by Vasco da Gama, a 20-year-old Portuguese navigator. In 1498, he succeeded in sailing around Africa. When he returned to Portugal, he was given the title Admiral of the Indian Ocean, along with a fleet of 20 warships. In 1499, Amerigo Vespucci, an Italian navigator, sailed along the coast of South America and became convinced that it was a new continent. His journals caught the attention of the German cartographer, mapmaker, Martin Walsemuller, who on his 1507 world map named the new land America in honor of Vespucci. In 1519, Ferdinand Magellan, a Portuguese explorer who sailed for Spain, set sail with five ships. He sailed west, hoping to find a shorter route to the Far East. Magellan did find a passage through the southern part of South America, which he named All Saints Channel, now known as the Strait of Magellan. Magellan died in the Philippines in 1521, but one of his ships made it back to Spain in 1522. It was the first expedition to circumnavigate or circle the globe. Although Magellan did reach the Far East by sailing west, his route was long and dangerous. Europeans wanted a shorter route. They hoped to find a water route to Asia through the North American continent. They called the hoped-for route the Northwest Passage. Spain in the New World. Spain continued to send explorers in search of the Northwest Passage and wealth. In 1513, Juan Ponce de Leon landed at what is now Florida, and Vasco Núñez de Balboa crossed the Isthmus of Panama to reach the Pacific Ocean. An isthmus is a narrow strip of land connecting two larger land areas. In 1519, the daring conquistador, Spanish conqueror, Hernando Cortes, landed in present-day Mexico. By 1521, he had conquered the Aztec Indians, killed their ruler Montezuma, and claimed a treasure of gold and silver for Spain. Stories of great treasures in the Americas were fueled in 1535 when Francisco Pizarro defeated the Inca in Peru and captured the richest silver mines in the world. In 1527, Panfilo de Narvaez set out to conquer the territory from the Rio Grande to the Cape of Florida. The unsuccessful expedition included several disasters and Narvaez's death. Eventually, only four men survived: Cabeza de Vaca, Andres Dorantes de Carranza, Narvaez's African-born slave Estevanico, and Alonso Castillo Maldonado. These men were among the first Europeans to see the southwestern United States. Cabeza de Vaca wrote of his travels and the Indians, land, flora, and fauna he saw. His account of powerful villages sparked further Spanish interest in that part of the continent. Francisco Vasquez de Coronado. Reports of the seven cities of Cibola, where houses were made of gold and turquoise, led to another expedition. Mexican Viceroy Antonio de Mendoza appointed Francisco Vasquez de Coronado to conquer the area north of Mexico in 1514. Coronado seized the opportunity to add to his wealth and began assembling his expedition. The entire expedition included 1,000 men, 1,500 horses and mules, and numerous cattle and sheep. The group traveled for several months over parts of Arizona and New Mexico. They encountered Zuni, Pueblo, and Hopi villages, often resulting in skirmishes, minor short-term fights, but no gold. A Pawnee Indian captive called El Turco, or the Turk, told Coronado of the wonderful Quivira province. The Coronado expedition split up in 1541. The main group stayed in the Texas Panhandle area, while Coronado took a small group and continued north in search of Quivira. El Turco led the party eastward through the high plains of Texas, where they turned north and east across Oklahoma and Kansas. About the Central Plains, Coronado wrote, "There was not a stone, nor a bit of rising ground, nor a tree or a shrub, nor anything to go by. They had little water, and often had to drink it so poor that was more mud than water. They tried to kill buffalo, but instead lost several horses. They cooked their food over cow dung fires, because there is not any kind of wood in all these plains, away from the gullies and rivers, which are very few. Men went hunting and got lost, wandering about the country as if they were crazy. Every night we took account of who was missing, fired guns and blew trumpets and beat drums and built great fires, but yet some of them went off so far and wandered about so much that all this did not give them any help." Eventually, Coronado and his exhausted men arrived at the supposed location of Quivira on the Arkansas River. They were extremely disappointed in what they saw. There was no gold or turquoise or any other things they may have deemed valuable. The Wichita Indian village included humble, dome-shaped grass houses and patches of corn, beans, squash, and pumpkin, and they wander around with the cows. The long, grueling expedition was a financial disaster. Coronado was furious with the Turk, who admitted he had simply wanted to get the Spanish out of the settlements along the Rio Grande. The soldiers were outraged, and they strangled the Turk to death. Coronado demanded the Wichita chiefs swear an oath of allegiance to the King of Spain, and he claimed the territory for the Spanish Empire. Coronado and his worn-out troops headed toward the Rio Grande, following a route that went through the Oklahoma Panhandle. Juan de Padilla. Friar Juan de Padilla had traveled with the Coronado expedition as an ordained priest. Padilla chose to return to the Wichita village, Quivira, to continue missionary efforts among the Indians. A missionary is one who is sent on a religious mission. Others who stayed with him were two lay brothers, Luis de Escalona and Juan de la Cruz, three blacks, one of whom had his family with him, a Portuguese soldier named Andres do Campo, and several Indian converts. They were warmly received at Quivira. After about 2 years, they wanted to expand their ministry to other tribes, but they were ambushed by Caw Indians. Padilla was killed, but do Campo and the lay brothers were held captive for almost a year. They finally escaped and made their way south on foot across what is central Oklahoma to the Gulf Coast, a journey that took 5 years. In their sorrow over Padilla's death, they vowed to carry a heavy wooden cross on their backs. Their only companion was a dog that joined them and helped them catch small game for food. Their trail directly south between Quivira and the Spanish settlements was called the Do Campo Route. Hernando de Soto. Another Spanish navigator and conquistador who had read Cabeza de Vaca's report was Hernando de Soto. De Soto hoped to be the first to find the gold and wealth. De Soto's 1539 expedition included some 700 men, over 200 horses, dogs, and equipment for colonizing. He explored Florida and other areas in the southeast, often leaving a trail of destruction. De Soto's expedition spent the winter of 1542 on the Arkansas River in Arkansas. He died later that same year without discovering gold or wealth on the journey. While De Soto probably did not travel into Oklahoma, his expedition added to Spain's claim to the land north of Mexico. His expedition is also credited with bringing a number of infectious diseases to the Indians he encountered. Juan de Oñate. The legends of gold brought Spanish explorer Juan de Oñate to the land of Oklahoma in 1601. Oñate was charged with settling New Mexico in 1595, mainly to spread Catholicism, but many of his group hoped to find silver and get rich. This group of explorers, missionaries, and colonists traveled up El Camino Real, or the Royal Road, from Mexico. In 1598, he established San Juan de los Caballeros, the first Spanish settlement in Nuevo Mexico, a province of New Spain. In 1601, Oñate went in search of Quivira and fortune across the Texas Panhandle, through part of Oklahoma, and on into Kansas. This expedition saw some of the same things Coronado had seen 60 years earlier: the strange cattle, tall grasses, Plains Indian tribes, and the Wichita. Oñate found the same thing at the Quivira villages as Coronado had, nothing of monetary value. Although the Coronado and Oñate expeditions were considered failures since they found no riches, they did have an impact on the area. The explorers left writings of their impressions of the vast territory they visited and the people they encountered. They further opened the door to the multitude of changes that were to come. Juan Martinez de Montoya founded a settlement that would become Santa Fe in 1607. In 1610, it became the capital of Nuevo Mexico. Santa Fe, in present-day New Mexico, became a commercial hub for trade between there and Mexico City. Many future explorations of Oklahoma were undertaken to establish trails to Santa Fe. France in the New World. While the Spanish came to the New World looking for silver and gold, the French came looking for furs and trade. Frenchmen and natives in the Newfoundland area of Canada had bartered food, furs, and other items for years. Eventually, the French founded Quebec on the St. Lawrence River as a colony in 1608. A colony is a group of people who settle in another land, but who are still under the rule of their native land. The French did not try to conquer the Indians and take their land. They treated them with dignity. France wanted to expand its trading area in the New World by finding the Northwest Passage. Hoping to find the fabled route through the continent, Louis Joliet and Father Jacques Marquette, a Jesuit missionary, led an expedition down the Mississippi River in 1673. In birch bark canoes, they traveled as far south as a Quapaw village at the mouth of the Arkansas River. There they learned of powerful tribes and Spanish soldiers further south. After determining that the Mississippi was not the Northwest Passage, they decided to return to Quebec. La Salle. René Robert Cavalier, Sieur de La Salle, had a trading post in Canada. He hoped to establish a string of trading posts down the Mississippi River. La Salle set out with his assistant, Henri de Tonty, soldiers, priests, and Indians with their families. They reached the upper Mississippi River in February 1682. By April 9th, they had canoed to the mouth of the river. La Salle claimed all the land drained by the Mississippi River for French King Louis XIV, naming it Louisiana, which means Land of Louis, and marking it with a log cross. La Salle returned to France and was rewarded with ships and 300 colonists. He was told to establish a colony on the Gulf of Mexico, but his return trip ended in disaster. Many colonists died at sea, and the remaining group missed the mouth of the Mississippi and landed at the wrong bay. La Salle then decided to lead the others overland to Canada, but the frightened and frustrated colonists mutinied and murdered him. La Salle did not establish a colony on the Gulf of Mexico, but his vast land claim for France set off a chain of events that led to the first French colony. In time, that led to exploring the territory of Oklahoma. When Spain and England heard that France had claimed the Mississippi, they believed their own colonies and plans were threatened. To protect those colonies, both Spain and England wanted to build forts along the Gulf Coast. French King Louis XIV sent two military commanders to establish a colony at the mouth of the Mississippi River. They established several forts. In 1714, the French built Fort St. Jean Baptiste, now the city of Natchitoches, Louisiana, on the Red River to further trade with the Spanish. In 1718, Jean-Baptiste Le Moyen, Sieur de Bienville, founded New Orleans. La Harpe. In 1719, Jean-Baptiste Bernard de La Harpe established a trading post along the Red River. He bought the site from the chief of the Nassanite, a tribe in the Caddo Confederacy, for 30 pistols and some merchandise. From that post, he explored the Red River, as well as the Mississippi and Sulphur Rivers, hoping to establish more trade for France in New Mexico. La Harpe and a small party explored much of eastern Oklahoma. They encountered thousands of Indians, some who lived in established villages, and some who were in roving nations, tribes that moved around following buffalo. Some of the Indians lived in their villages from March through October and grew maize, beans, and pumpkins. They left to hunt during the winter months. The French party traveled through chestnut and walnut groves, mulberry thickets, tall forest, swamps, meadows, hills, and prairies, and around mountains. They found rock crystal, coal, and large pearls from mussels. Game was plentiful and included buffalo, deer, bear, wolf, partridge, geese, woodcock, and plover. La Harpe wrote, quote, "These nations raise very good horses, being unable to do without them either in war or hunting. They have saddles, bridles which are very well made, and even wear breastplates of leather to protect their flesh. Their cabins are raised higher, the most part built of straw and of reeds, covered with earth, forming a dome. Over each door, each of the nation has his arms painted on a piece of brown leather. End quote. He noted that the chief of the Tuakara, Wichita Nation, was most respected. When his food was given to him, he would take a part of it, then share the rest. Their plates were made of tightly woven reed. La Harpe was impressed with the land. There is not in the whole colony of Louisiana an establishment more useful to make than on the branch of this river, not only because of the mild climate, the fertility of the land, the richness of the minerals, but also because of the possibility of trade that one might introduce with Spain and New Mexico. He felt that animals and goods could be easily transported and traded for hides, pelts, and furs. Chief Tuakara and other Wichita chiefs welcomed a trading partnership with the French. The Indians wanted guns and ammunition to defend their villages, and such French trade goods as metal tools, cloth and woven blankets, mirrors, and beads. In turn, the French wanted the furs of beaver, otter, mink, and muskrat, and the hides from buffalo. The Indians agreed to provide safe passage for the parties of the French. The coat of arms of the king and date were carved on a post that was planted in the middle of the village. La Harpe wrote, "I told them it was to mark the alliance we had made with them. An alliance is a close association to advance the common interest of the parties, in this case, trade." La Harpe's visit marked the beginning of French trade activities in Oklahoma. His journal provided the first written description of the lands in eastern Oklahoma. La Harpe and his party returned to Louisiana, where he continued to play an important role for several years. Other French explorers. The importance the French played on Oklahoma was shown by other expeditions. While La Harpe approached Oklahoma from the southeast, another Frenchman, Claude Charles Dutin, entered the territory from the north. He left Illinois country and traveled up the Missouri River to the Osage River, where he began traveling on land and eventually arrived in northeastern Oklahoma. He made an alliance with the Wichita in 1719 and raised a white flag in their village. French explorers in the mid-1700s included brothers Pierre Antoine and Paul Mallet and André Fabre de la Bruyère. They explored the Canadian River while trying to open trade routes to Santa Fe. The early French influence is evident today in the names of rivers, geographical features, and communities in eastern Oklahoma. Kiamichi, Sans-Bois, Chouteau, and Poteau are a few examples. French men sometimes married Indian women, and French surnames are still found in some Oklahoma families. England in the New World. John Cabot's 1497 voyage to the New World gave England a claim to North America. Once England gained control of the seas after defeating the Spanish Armada in 1588, it was more inclined to explore the New World. A number of English explorers tried unsuccessfully to find the fabled Northwest Passage. Believing that the country that controlled North America would become even more powerful, England began settling the east coast in the 1600s. By the end of the 1600s, England had 12 colonies along the Atlantic coast. The European influence soon affected many aspects of the Indians' way of life. It's your turn. Number 1. Why did Columbus name the natives he found Indian? Number 2. What was the name given to the all-water route Europeans hoped to find through the North American continent? Number 3. Why were the French exploring south of Canada?